My first association when you mentioned the concept of sleeplessness was actually that's a kind of impotence. People who are impotent, specifically male impotence, it tends to be that their body cannot participate in what's going on because the mind is actually interfering with something. So the body's not free to do what it needs to do. And so I chose to take that as an introduction for sleeplessness because that makes it quite more, say, loudly explicit that sleeplessness is a symptom of something else. And yes, there are forms of sleeplessness which are directly associated to the effect of drugs. And as some people might know, in the world wars, the Russians and the Brits and the Americans and the Germans all had their drugs, as a result of which the soldiers were marched off to the battlegrounds without needing to sleep. So they were hyper excited by what they had been taken as a drug. So they felt very alert and aware and alive, but the body could not switch off for the simple reason that that specific drug is part of the activation system in the body. And with so many drugs flooding the system, how can the body sleep? Caffeine, theine have that kind of effects. With theine and caffeine, people actually know it. Some people are addicted to coffee for waking up. Some people avoid coffee or tea before going to bed because they realize that, in a sense, things are out of control. The chemistry from the outside world has taken them over. Let's say they're simply drugged, and their body functions no longer respond to them, but to that outside drug that they have been taken. It is very simple to take the next step from an outside drug to an outside influence, because in the same way that the body with its metabolic system is still chewing on the caffeine or the theine, then likewise there are experiences which people sense as exciting, which keep them busy. Very often those are conflicts, often they can also be excitements. Anticipation, enthusiasm, but it means that there is an idea active in their brain which fascinates them to such an extent that the brain won't switch off because there's so much more to harvest in what's going on. In many cases, it's actually not the harvest of what's going on, so there's no real learning going on in that experience, so such that the people who can't sleep because of conflicts that they had, the conflict is clear, the fact that there is no solution is clear, it's just that the brain is trying to find a solution with the lack of information. It's like a dog trying to find something under the carpet, under the table, under the chair, but it cannot find it, but it keeps on looking. So the brain gets stuck in an activity because there's nobody there to tell it to shut up. Shut off. The brain activity, when the brain runs off by itself, simply means that the one living with that brain or the one using that mind actually lost control over the mind. And mind control is often used as a term for other people determining what you think, but mind control is better to be understood as, are you actually having mastery over your brain, or is the brain actually telling you what to do? It's a bit like the theme of the movie 2001 Space Odyssey, where the computer, IBM HAL it's called, actually had a hidden program. The computer had been programmed with something which it could not resolve, as a result of which it could not comply with what was going on. It just couldn't compute. And the consequence was that it was doing things which were contrary to the interest of the people, seemingly, but it was in full accord with the program that it had been given. And a lot of people have a similar situation in their mind, that they gave their brain a program, they gave their mind a program, that they created a program in their consciousness, which turns out to be in conflict with things and events and other things happening later on. And if people can then not correct that computer programming, they will be pestered by this program keeping on running and keeping them awake at night, for the simple reason that there is a reason why the program is still running. On the one hand, because they didn't stop it, the user of the brain doesn't stop the program, says, okay, this is where it stops. You've calculated it for me 23 times already, and now I'm just simply going to count the amount of numbers that you did this. And quite very quickly, the brain will realize that you're no longer listening, you're only counting. So your involvement with that thought process is different, you're disconnected from it. And it is that connection or disconnection from the mental processes which then reflects on, can you sleep or can you not sleep? As long as that program is allowed to run, and you are allowing it to run, and you're allowing yourself to look at it and take interest and say, yeah, that's really so, that definitely, you're so right, or this is so horrible, this is so ghastly, da, da, da. And there it comes again and again and again, but it's simply a computer program which tried to find a solution with lack of information. At that time, what that program of the brain needs is the realization, we do not have enough data. Stop program, look for new data. Do that after I wake up. The whole notion of sleeplessness due to racing thoughts, it's not about the sleeplessness, that's just a symptom. The problem with the racing thoughts, that's also where I came up with this parallel of the male impotence. The body will know what to do. The female body and the male body, they have a language of their own, no thought involved. The bodies will know how to talk with each other. They know which rhythms, which songs, which dances are possible. And the mind is actually not involved. It's basically a spectator. Some people can think that they can enhance it and balance it and could do all kinds of tricky stuff next to it. But for the body, that's not part of the essential story. The core of the story of the sexual interaction comes right from the core of the body, and is really directly connected to the whole neural hormonal stimulation of the body and the field of consciousness. In sleep, it's the same. The sleep transition is from the outer world to the body world, to the organ world, to the cell world, which is also from the surface sensory system in the connection to the outer world. So when you start to meditate, you actually close off the sensory system. You start ignoring it. In sleep, you simply close your eyes, and that normally will switch off the outer sensorial system. Basically, it's a kind of signal, okay, now the outer world no longer interests me. I've been playing for the video game long enough. Now I'm going to go back to self-repair. Now I'm going to find out who I really am, are within my deepest self. Then the next step of the sleep cycle is where you still have the neuronal awareness of the sensation lingering. And this might be afterthoughts of what has happened. And that's where then, in the alpha dream state, afterthoughts can be processed. And sometimes, and that's a story in itself, how the principle of the beauty mathematics is actually something you can feel in the body at the moment that you have ideas collapse as a powerful thinking person, I work a lot with thoughts, and I have a lot of experience with, say, the implosion of the factor of state when I've been juggling thoughts of different kinds for a while, and suddenly the Rubik's Cube just fits and it can just implode and comes to the core of, say, that is where it all connects. All of these other bits were just aspects of this one simple essence at the core of it. And then the mind, which was full of everything, still suddenly is empty of everything. Before that happens, these thoughts are juggling around and they're trying to reconfigure, recompute, because in a way that's what we have been asking it to do while we were awake. And at the moment of sleeping, a dream, if that is still going on, then it is much more simple to say that I can't sleep yet, I'm still dreaming, so why not turn this into meditation, and you focus on the thoughts and then pick up the thoughts like you would do a meditation, and then intentionally shift your involvement or relationship with the thoughts instead of these thoughts bubbling up and pushing you like a bubble bath jacuzzi. You look at them and say, well, actually these thoughts you've been repeating too often already, I now further ignore. This is part of the shopping list, I'll write that down. This, I have no notion what that has to do with me, so you better clarify. And this, okay, I see that you're done with it. So that alpha level of daydreaming, which is also the level of visualization meditation, can simply be turned around. That in falling asleep, not being able to sleep because of all these thoughts whirling around, it's much easier to become semi-awake again and just start listing the thoughts that come by. Because when you put it outside of yourself, the brain knows that you're taking it serious, you're actually literally taking note, and the brain also knows that you're not actually interacting with it. So the brain, you're interactive with your brain all the time, then sees if there are other things which you have been put on the kettle to be prepared. And just to give an example of this, Arthur M. Young was the creator of a helicopter. And he realized that thinking has many levels, so at some point he needed to calculate a wingspan of something, and he had put his mind to work to do that, so that at the unconscious level it was busy doing that. And at some point in a conversation he said, oh, give me a moment. He wrote down a number, because the result of the wingspan calculation had just come back to him, and then he concluded with the conversation, continued with the conversation. So we have the capacity to actually initiate thinking processes at different levels. And in magic, that's part of the training. Mystery schools, that's part of the learning. And in hypnosis, it's part of the training too, that you know that it is there. But knowing that it is there is not necessarily having the capability to use it. But at the moment that your sleepness and these processes already demonstrate that they are working for you, then it's good to take note of them, know that they're there, realize that they're actually working for you, and understanding that you actually turned them on, and that you simply then go to that part of the thinking process, and in a way like speaking to a dog or an animal, a good friend, say, okay, thank you. Dear butler, you just came by and you just tell me this, that's wonderful. Okay, I think I got the message. So you don't need to repeat it. At the moment that you signal back that you got the message, that message can stop. And sometimes there are situations of conflict where you know that something needs to have a solution. and you're pumping your thought during the day or some moment earlier in the day. You initiated the process, you've been doing other things, so you forgot about it. You're falling asleep, suddenly you see that from under the carpet that's still bubbling. And then when you look at it, you can simply conclude, yes, I asked you to look into this. Thank you very much for doing this. I see that you have no conclusion. We can stop for the night. We can look at this again with a fresh eye tomorrow morning. So then you go through this transition of basically the dream state where these thoughts whirl up, and you take control of it by directing it or redirecting it. By turning the active thinking phase into an active meditation phase. Then you conclude that active meditation phase at stage two at the alpha level as you would normally do. So either you wake up and go to sleep again a bit later, or you intentionally go to a different level of meditation and say, well, this is where I'm going to go from the awake visualization meditation into the awake emotional discharge meditation. So from the dream level at the alpha wave band of the brain frequencies, you then go to the theta brainwave frequencies, which are also the healing frequencies. And there you then look for residues of that racing thought process that you've just concluded. And in your body, you feel if it is still racing, and you check if it needs some attention somewhere. Basically, it's like if you have been angry, your body has been making running hormones, because normally you would run away from a situation like that, or you would run head on into whatever is causing it. But many people don't do that, so they have a very strong physical emotional feelings. These are actually body reactions to mental processes. But in a normal situation, these molecules would be digested. So for example, the excitation molecules, if you run them, they will be consumed. So in that way, you might have to go for a run to calm the body and eat up all those molecules. Or you turn those molecules into something in an inner world experience where you give them a different meaning, such as, I feel very alert, I feel very alive, I'm now imagining that running up a mountain and I'm really feeling very brisk and refreshed by that. And actually, I've done it so much now that I'm tired, I can go to sleep now. It's about understanding the relationship on the first level of the, say, the neuronal computer images of this video program that you get entranced in. Like so many television programs, every 2 seconds they create an impulse so that your body mind says, oh, something is changing, this might be risky, I have to pay attention. That's how the enslavement to television program is built in. But it's all neuronal stimulation. On the deeper level with the theta brainwave frequencies, is already at the hormonal, the organ level, the chakra level, the way you relate to your environment, I say the gods of the Olympus, and that's where you can then even go into an experience of the God of Olympus. You can go into a mental video game of, okay guys, we are now really going to play it out. And then you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes to go into those feelings and interact with the body, feel into the body, breathe into the body. So, okay, I know that this is what I'm feeling now, and this is what I now need to transform. So I'm going to breathe into it, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to feel into it, imagine about it, until it has been transformed. And out of that, you can then either go out and fuel the water body with some water to discharge the charges, or you can go to the next level of meditation, which is the delta state. Okay, this is where I'm actually going to go out of body. I'm just going to leave it behind. I'm now going to go to somewhere else, where I can find information for this setting which I'm trying to resolve, which around me I can't find. So where can I go? And this is actually part of mystery training, magical training, spiritual training, the realization that within you, you can connect to other forms of information, other places of information, but you need to call for it, you need to look for it, you need to go there. But the most important part is that you simply turn the sleepness state around by looking at what it is. Something is keeping me awake, what is it? Okay, I now know it, that's done. But my body is still hyperactive or whatever else as a result of that. What do I do with that? Do I give it a meaning by imagining that I've done something so that I can, to my body, says, make it acceptable that that's logical, that that's okay to work with? Or do I now physically do what the body is actually asking me to do? And in a whole, it simply amounts to digesting the experience, but intentionally doing so. The key to it is realizing that a reflex system kicked in and is doing it. That's why it goes on and on and on, doesn't stop, because reflexes are outside of time. And what you then do is you go back and say, okay, I see that this is the reflex, and I know that this is the intent, the conviction behind it, and I know that it's based on my decision that I want to solve this, but now I take the decision that I want to solve this, but not now, first I'll sleep. And it is a story in itself to realize that you can actually operate with the brain at these kind of different levels. But that you need to choose to do so, you need to learn to do so, and you need to practice to do so, and then these instances of sleeplessness are moments for training it, for practicing, for applying it. So to conclude the story on the whole, sleeplessness, like impotence, is simply a symptom that there's something else that's going on in the body-mind, as a result of which what a body normally would do cannot be done at that time. There is a very good reason for that other thing, what's going on, because in some way you called for it. But it is a mental process, a neuronal, hormonal, it's an experiential consciousness process. But it is good time to realize that you can take charge of what's happening and take responsibility of what's happening. You turn it on, so then learn to turn it off. So in that sense, the sleeplessness is basically a kind of failed graduation exam of the sorcerer's apprentice, the famous story of the sorcerer's apprentice who was able to turn something on but was not able to turn it off. And mastery, of course, is the full range of creation. Shiva, the creator, Shiva, the destroyer. It's not just that you're able to turn something on, but you're also able to turn something off. And sleeplessness is just a practice ground. So, yeah, happy training.